I'm excited and thankful for our missionaries and the opportunities that we've had this year to go visit our missionaries. We have a number of teams that will be presenting tonight. We have a Crossroads team that went and served with Keith and Donna South out in Nephi, Utah. We had a team that served with the Zimmers out in Palau. And then we also had a Nehemiah team that went out to Wolf Mountain in California. And that that camp is under the umbrella of the Camp Ironwood camps. And then we'll also hear from some teens tonight. So thankful for these opportunities that we've had, thankful for how God has worked in many that have gone on these trips, as well as the blessing we were able to be to those we were going to help serve. So, Mark.
My name is Mark Van Alstyne, and I had a special privilege of being involved with this group and this team that went to Nephi. Last fall, Pastor Tyson, he had came up to me and he had asked me if I wanted to pray about leading the group out to Nephi. And as a Crossroads group, this would be the first time that we were going to take a trip kind of on our own. There was going to be no pastors on the trip, no sponsors, and since I was the oldest one, pretty much no adult supervision. But God brought the group together in a unique way, working out different schedules over many months and bringing together a group of 10 total. We had five men and five women go on the team. And it was really neat to see how God blessed and blended us and then bonded us through just the preparations of getting, just before even going out there. And our theme for the week was Prove Your Faith, and that was based out of a study that we had done as a Crossroads group in the book of James. So we were kind of pulling some things that we had studied here and then took that out with us on our trip. As a group, we ran summer Bible time, their equivalent of VBS, throughout the week. We sang special songs in their services. We ran the Wednesday night service while we were out there, and we also ran a teens game night. So we were pretty busy, even leading up to the time going up, preparations for that, and while we were there. And that was kind of by design. Throughout the week, every one of our group either gave a testimony, or taught a lesson, or preached a message. And that was designed to get us out of our comfort zone so that we could be out of the seats, not just there as part of the team, but that we'd be serving and active in the ministry in Nephi. And, you know, trips like this are always a blessing. They're always an encouragement to kind of see the missionaries in their setting. You know, we live a pretty cushy Christian life here, but to see what the missionaries go through is really unique. The heart and diligence of a missionary is unlike anything else, and it's really neat to see up close. And the South served us throughout the week in ways that we didn't expect, in ways that they went above and beyond anything that we needed or deserved. And there's a lot of distractions out there. You know, we were caught up, you know, just in the beauty of the mountains and the landscape, things that we don't quite have here in Wisconsin. But, you know, there's lots of other things. The Souths are very busy. We were busy while we were out there. And then there's also the battle, the constant battle against the Mormon religion and the pull that it has on the people out there. But God was faithful to our group. And while there were challenges, while there were struggles, there was growth in each and every one of us that went to Nephi. So now we have a little short video, and then we'll have a couple testimonies from those in the group. So thank you.
Good evening. I'm Josh Ganwa. I just want to share a little bit about how God used me and how he stretched me on the trip. Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. God put me into a situation which I'm not very comfortable with, and that's talking in front of big groups, especially teaching. But leading up to the trip and actually preparing for the trip, it stretched me in a way and just on a complete, you know, reliance on God for who he is and what he actually does and how you can actually see him work in your own life. And it was just awesome through the process, just preparing for the message that I had to give for the Wednesday night service. And it was just really awesome just dive in and actually dissect a message in, you know, ways I've never done before, which was pretty awesome and a growing experience also. During the trip too, you know, God just reminded me really on how faithful he really is and all the things that he does through people, you know, either through the people that you're actually ministering to or even, you know, the people ministering back to you at the same time. But I just want to thank you guys for all your prayers, and it was really an encouragement to all of us, and thank you.
I'm Richard Kane. I was on the Nephi trip to help with the South with summer Bible time, and it was cool. We went there to bless the Souths and to help them, but I came away, and they blessed me and taught me things. I know Brookside's been involved with them for a long time, but that was the first time I had ever interacted with them, really, or talked with them, and their hospitality was amazing. They had great food every single day, and just the fellowship at mealtime was awesome. We would talk to them. They would tell us stories about their experiences there over 20 years or however long they've been there, and it was just really humbling to hear how difficult it is for those people there sometimes. One story Pastor South told that I remember well was about this couple. They're searching for the truth, and they called him on the phone, but they didn't want to meet at his house because they didn't want to be seen there. They didn't want him to come to their house because he couldn't be seen at their house. So they had to meet at church after dark, and they parked several blocks away just because of the fear they had of social pressure, or their friends would find out that they were interested in Christianity. So they met, and he shared the gospel with them. They weren't both saved that night, but he found out later they did get saved, and then they moved north from Nephi, just to a new town, because they were, I guess, afraid of the pressure, I don't know why exactly, but just because it was difficult there to be a Christian. So it really challenged me, I guess, to think about how much have I really given up to serve Christ and to follow Christ, and that it's very real to people there, that if they choose to follow Christ, their life will be completely different. Their friends won't like them anymore. They won't be accepted in the community. And my life has been really easy by comparison. And then it challenged me to really be praying for missionaries, and specifically the South in Utah, because there's a huge need there. I think Pastor South said that Nephi is 96% Mormon, and all those people that don't know Christ. And I returned uplifted and encouraged from the trip, but also challenged to be faithful in what God has given me to do, regardless of how big the results look. Because Pastor South has been there for a long time, the church is still small. Because, like you said, several families have had to move out, and there's been, I think he said, 3 times turnover in the church in the 20 years he's been there. From people leaving because of the pressure and the persecution there. Thanks.
Hi, my name is Jared Yelsey. Some of you know me, if not most of you, but I was very privileged to be able to go on this trip. There were so many things that I could talk about, but I'm not going to because I have a very select time limit. But it was cool just to see all the different relationships grow centered on Christ and the work that he's doing. The mountains were just marvelous and majestic, and all week long, I was like, every time we were driving by mountains, which was every second, I was just like, wow, and everyone was just like, you really can't get over that, can you? But they're really majestic and just shows God's power. But the biggest thing that really stuck out to me was just the power of God's word, not just in my life, not just in the lives of Christian, but in the lives of the unsaved. God's word is very powerful. And that is the thing that will convict lost souls to come to know him. That is the thing that will convict them to show that they need a savior. And just to be able to experience that throughout the week as kids were memorizing verses was, and just to see how their hearts were changing and being open to the word, as the slideshow said, 8 kids got to accept Christ as their savior. And we ran a summer Bible time of average of 15 kids a day. I probably reached total 20, 25 kids max. And those were all community kids that came to know Christ. So that's just something that we couldn't have done. I can't take credit for that. Our team can't take credit for that. That's just God. And that was the best thing about that trip for me, is just to be able to see how God's word works, not just in my life, not just in the lives of Christians, but also in the lives of unsaved people, and then also to see those 8 kids come to know Christ was just awesome. And I just want to say thank you on behalf of the team for all your prayers. We really do appreciate it, and we couldn't have done it without those prayers and without God. Thank you.
Well, I'm getting flashbacks to Palau and Nephi, Utah. We've been there. Some of you might be wondering, well, why would they move out? If they have a business in Nephi and they come to Christ, they're blackballed, and that's why they have to move. And you saw what it's like, the intensity that they're under there. And it's amazing that Keith South has been there as long as he's been there. And they've actually started construction on a church. I look forward to the day that we're going to make an announcement here. We need guys to go out and help frame it all in and get the building up there in Nephi. Palau was a great opportunity for us. Kathy and I went along with Jim and Dana Toberman and Ty and Will. Matt Rapp went along with us, and then also Decote, who is one of our interns. That's where Decote is from, Palau. He hadn't been home in 2 years, and he was able to be back with his mom and dad for a month and then minister and help get things ready for the camps with John Zimmer. Of course, many of you that are longtime Brookside folks know John and Jamie. They were the youth pastor here at Brookside for many years, and their 3 girls and the work that they're doing. And then you also saw another young man there, and that was Tanner Smith. Tanner Smith was the starting point guard for several years for Clemson University. If you know where that is, it's a school down in the south. And he ended up now he's the head, and he's not the head basketball coach. He works under Mark Price, who is the head basketball coach at the University of North Carolina at Charlotte. And he came in contact with John Zimmer at Pastor Brian's church on Easter Sunday a couple of years ago. And they got talking, and Tanner said he'd like to come out. So he actually kind of ran the camp. We helped him. We had family nights. We had an opportunity to really give the gospel many, many times. And we'll share a little bit with that. Kathy's in the nursery tonight, and the Tobermans and Decote are out of town. And so that leaves Matt and I, so I'll ask Matt if he would come and just share a little bit of what God did there in his life in Palau. And I'm just thankful, Matt, for your willingness to go and to minister.
Thanks, Pastor. Palau was the first time I had an opportunity to go on a missions trip, and it's just a really awesome time. I've always asked God to not do 2 things to me. One is make me a missionary, and the other is to make me a youth pastor. But going on the missions trip really is changing my heart on that big time. There's a lot of things that I could talk about, a lot of really cool experiences, number of times with the opportunity to share the gospel, really to take some very sinful things from my past that God's changed in my life and use that to kind of break down some doors with people there. Drug use is pretty prevalent there, as well as gangs and some that type of lifestyle. And with some of my past, it really opened up a lot of doors to not only share with the youth, but also to share in the prison, which was really an awesome opportunity. I felt, unfortunately, somewhat at home in there with those people, but the guys were really gracious and great opportunity. And then there's another opportunity that I won't forget, where I was kind of accidentally lured away from everybody. I thought we were supposed to be going out witnessing, and I guess we weren't. We were going home for the night, and I ended up in kind of a dark spot down the road with about 30 people. Pretty sure they were gang members, and I started to share my testimony with them, and they didn't really want to have anything to do with me until I got about 5 minutes into it, and they were very intent and listening, and I must have spoke for almost an hour, and at the end they all cheered and clapped, and just really surprised by that, just the opportunity to share the gospel and have those open doors. But more than anything, what affected me is really to see the heart of the Zimmer family. As well as the Clapp family. John Zimmer, his little saying is hammer down, hammer time. And he wasn't kidding. He hammered down from 5 a.m. till midnight, constantly working for the Lord, Monday through Sunday. There's no stop. And he was just a really huge inspiration to serve the Lord in all your might. And uh, their whole family did that. So really appreciate the opportunity to go on the missions trip. Looking forward to going back, Lord willing. And just want to encourage everybody here to be in prayer for the Zimmer family and to try to remember two things. One, it's either we're those who are sent and should be going out to the mission field, and Lord willing, the Lord's working on my heart with that. Or two, we should be the ones that are sending them, so financially supporting people and being in prayer. So really appreciate the opportunity and look forward to hopefully seeing my friends in Plow again. So.
I'll just share one story. We had many opportunities with the gospel, and we had an opportunity to work with the national Palau team, 15 and under. 5 years ago, we took a group of guys from Brookside, and we worked with the national team, but this was 15 and under that we worked with, and God just opened all kind of doors for John and continues to open doors for John in that way. And on Sunday afternoon, after the week, we went out to talk to people who had written on their card they wanted to know more about the gospel. They wanted to know how they could live with God. And so I went out with a couple of fellas, and I thought, how neat is this? We go to one block, and we see two people live right next door to each other. And we got to share the gospel with both young men, even one of the young men, their family, until they had to leave. But John told me, he said, well, I've really been praying for this young boy by the name of Samson. And Samson, as we shared the gospel, you could just see how God had been working in his heart all week. And he said, I need to do that. And then we went right next door to his friend, and Samson was able even to share his testimony of how he just had trusted Christ about 15 minutes ago. And his friend trusted Christ. And so he said, we said, hey, we're having a big cookout. We got John a grill, and he wanted to do a Brookside Wednesday night cookout on Sunday night there, and he told everybody, grill and hamburgers and hot dogs, and the teens especially flocked to it. He had over 100 out that Sunday night, and we were looking for Samson. He didn't have a way there. I said, Samson, we'll come and pick you up, and went, honk, couldn't find him, don't know what happened to him. And John came to me that evening after we'd cleaned up, and he said, you're not going to believe this. He said, Samson walked all the way here, and he wanted me to know, because he knew I'd been praying for him, that today he had trusted Christ. And John said, man, you don't know what an encouragement to be praying for this young man, but to see him walk the entire way to get to the Zimmer's house, not looking to get a hamburger. He got there way after that. But just he came because he wanted John to know that he was now a Christian. And so I know in 3 more years that John has an opportunity there again. If you have family members that like to play basketball, that can open up doors, I know that's coming down the pike that John's already talking about in 3 years. And so we're grateful and thankful for how God used us.
I'm getting texts from Colorado, which means that the Nehemiah team that's going up to Camp Grace has arrived. And they said they were going to do that when they got out there and saw some mountains. They were going to be texting me. So thankful that they arrived safely out there. Back in February, there was a group of 7 of us that went out to Wyoming and ministered at Camp or Wolf Mountain. It's a camp about 55 miles north of Sacramento. And there were 2 trailers there that the camp had brought in for staff housing. And we'll show a video here coming up in the next few minutes. These trailers, they were empty. They needed to be stuff torn out. And then we framed up rooms, bathrooms, showers, built a deck, different things like that out there. The team of 7 that went were Tom Bergeron, which he's on vacation tonight, Carl Becker, Doug Post, Jeff Wenzel, Dean and Carol Newman, and then I also went out on that trip. So you'll kind of see the progression of these trailers out there that we worked on, and then each night we'd meet as a team. We'd have a devotional. Each one of the men would share a short devotional, have a time of prayer. Just a special time to get to know each other a little bit better, to share our hearts, and share how God has been working in each of our hearts on a nightly basis. So those are special times on these Nehemiah trips. And then at the end of the trip, we spent a day in San Francisco. And camp ministries have a special place in my heart. And growing up at the Wilds of the Rockies And going there, I know that that many decisions were made there in my life at that camp. And so I'm thankful for this team that gave financially, that gave of their vacation time to go out there and to work on this camp as and keep this camp in your prayers as they preach and share God's word to many campers in the future. So we'll show a video here, and then I'll have Dean Newman come give a testimony.
Good evening. My name is Dean Newman, and it was truly a pleasure to go out to Wolf Mountain, and I appreciate the opportunity that Brookside provided for us to be able to go there. And my initial reason for going was to break in a RV that we had purchased in December, and it almost broke us in, but it was a good experience. We learned a lot about RVing, and but it was a better experience through the fellowship that we experienced through all of the people that went there, and working with the staff, and the accommodations were great. The food was great, and everything that I learned from doing construction, I just down to how do you cut a board is something that I struggled with, I guess, because either I'd cut the board too short or too long or whatever, but thanks for Doug pointing that out. But one thing that if it's like finances that might be holding you back, you might want to consider talking to your tax advisor and see if you can deduct some of the transportation costs on your taxes. But that's not the major reason for going on these type of trips. Do it all for the glory of the Lord. And the verse that I wanted to pass on was, but as it is written, I hath not heard, neither hath entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. And I was saying, okay, but as it is written, I thought, well, let me look back and see where it was actually referred to initially. And the verse was, for since the beginning of the world, men have not heard, nor perceived by the ear, neither hath the eye seen, O God, beside thee, what he hath prepared for him that waiteth for him. And that was in Isaiah 64:4. And so I do thank you, and thank the Lord that, all went well.
Yeah, Doug had a way of keeping us all in line as far as what we were doing when we were framing and plumbing or whatever we were doing, as only Doug can do, right? If you know Doug. But we had a great trip. Well, last week, and I'll have the teens come up who are sharing tonight. Come on up here, guys. I asked a number of teens to give a testimony that went to camp, and they said, in front of people? So thankful for these teens, thankful for the decisions that were made at Camp Kobiak last week, and thank you for your prayers there. And Albina, I'll start with you.
Okay, hi. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Albina Post, and I had the privilege of going to Camp Kobiak in Michigan this summer, and I just wanted to take a minute or two and share what God was doing in my heart that week. So one saying we hear often by a lot of people is the Lord works in mysterious ways. And one of those ways is through trials. A lot of the times we question God, asking, you know, why would you let this happen to me? How can this be your will for my life? And how can this be good? And God really spoke to me through the speaker that week, Ron DeGard. And he was constantly showing me throughout the week that our trials can be used for his glory, and it can actually be used for good. And you never know when someone might relate to your testimony or your trials, and a door could be opened as an opportunity to share the gospel for them. And God was continually reminding me, you know, I have a plan. I know what I'm doing. And I have to constantly remind myself of this every day. And another thing we have to keep remembering is God doesn't make mistakes. Like, things don't just happen and then he's like, oh, wait, I didn't mean for that to happen. He always has a plan for what he's doing. And I just wanted to close with a verse that most of you probably have heard and know, but it has like one of the most comforting promises God's ever given to us. And it's Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future.
Can you hear me? All right, I'm Sean, and I'm a senior this year, and I went to Kobiak 2, and the thing I learned was, it was actually, he wasn't really talking about it that much, it was just a little side note about gratitude, and I don't know, I just got thinking about it, and like all week, I started, rooming with Chris and some of the sponsors, and I started to realize how much people care. And so through the whole week, I started realizing how much people care. And then on Friday, it just kind of smacked me that that's something to be real thankful for. So I just realized how thankful I am for this church and the youth group and everything. And also, then that night, there was the, we gave our, the people at the camp gave their testimonies in front of the camp. And this little kid, he's like real little, and he's like 13, I think. And he started going up and he started talking about gratitude. And I was like, oh, that's what I was thinking about. And he started saying like these crazy, terrible things, like, you know, my house burned down, you know, but I'm thankful for this, you know, and family members dying, but, and I just kind of helped me look on the bright side. Especially this last week with moving and everything, and I was kind of ticked about moving again, but helped me look on the bright side and be thankful for all the people helping me and all that. And that's it.
Thank you, Sean.
I just want to thank everybody that like the Taves, they helped us, they let us work for them, and allowed us to make money to go. So, and I thank everybody that prayed for us as we went up there. So, camp, God showed me that, I don't spend a lot of time in his word like I should, and I don't spend a lot of time doing things that last forever. And most of my time is spent doing things that won't last forever and will fade with this world. And, let's just spend more time in God's word, because our relationship with God lasts forever. And also, God, show me how much I don't care about winning souls for him. I just pass up opportunities to share the gospel. I got really emotional at camp because, like, I could have went to the mission trip this year, and I didn't because selfish reasons. So, he showed me that I just need to love people more. Just love people more and stop being so selfish. And, okay, for so long I was just fighting God because I was scared that if I just gave him everything and committed to him, that he'd make me be something that I didn't want to be. And I was just so scared of being like a pastor or something, because that's scary. That's scary. Like, week after week getting up here and talking is just scary for me. And but God just helped me to just realize whatever he wants me to be, that I'll just commit to him and do that. So, and he showed me that that's the best thing for my life, is just to commit to him, give him everything. So whatever God wants me to be, whether it's a pastor or whatever it is, when he calls, I'll go. because that's what he wants for my life. I'll serve God with my whole heart and with my whole heart in full-time ministry.
Well, I didn't have much time to prepare, but I got a little something down, and I have three short stories, and one is a life-changing decision. The first one was when we first got there, I got my room. I was with all my friends, my brother, Hunter, and all the guys that I wanted to be with. But then it came to a point where I had to switch rooms because something got messed up, and I wasn't really humbled about it. I really was like, I really don't want to change rooms, but I came to the point where I was like, all right, it's going to be fine. I don't have to be with those people. I'll see them during the day and all that. And God, he humbled me. And I went to a room with Benny and Tyler Toberman. And it turned out that it was fun. We had a great time in our cabin. A great counselor just got an opportunity to say a devotion at the end of the week. And a lot of things in our cabin changed my life throughout the week. Just encouragement and just the people in my cabin. So first, God humbled me through the week. And the second one, Brother DeGart, he's a great pastor. He hit me so many times. Every night I went out of service and I start crying because the message that he gave, God was talking to me all week. And this particular one was about friendships and how I wasn't been the friend that I should have been to certain people that I've been knowing since I was a young kid, such as Benny and Hunter. And just knowing them since first time I came to church, them two came up to me and asked me to be their friend, and ever since then we've been friends, and I wasn't acting like a friend towards them. I wasn't being honest with them, and Jared gave a message a couple weeks before that saying how we don't really like when friends say they're going to do something and don't do it. And that's the kind of friend I was being. And I apologized to them during the week, and God changed me, and that I need to just love my friends, love everyone, because he loved us. And without his love, we would not be here today. And the last one was my life-changing decision. The second to last night, God's been working in my life for a year now, just through the wilds in this camp this year. What should I do with my life? I really just wanted to go to play a professional sport and do that for my life, but I don't feel like God was calling me to do that. So Ryan gave his message, and then at the end when he was speaking about giving your life up to the Lord, and I made that decision that I wanted to go into full-time ministry and turn my life over to the Lord to be a pastor. And God has worked in my heart, and I really want to thank God for working in my heart. I want to thank the church for the prayers for safe travels and just for us to have a safe time up there. And just thank the group we were with, just encouraging me. And I just want to thank you guys, and just pray for me as I going along during my life. Thank you.
Here for a second. Well, as most of you may know, I also had the awesome privilege of going to Camp Kobiak this past week. Before I went there, as a sinner, as we all are, we have these struggles that we go through on a daily basis, whether it's spiritual purity, thought purity, stealing, lying, cheating, whatever it may be. Growing up, I had the privilege of having 8 older sisters and 4 older brothers. Well, it's not easy to take all the teasing and just overall embarrassment that might come from them. JJ, I'm looking at you. I just had to I had a huge pride problem before I went to camp. And while we were at camp, one of the things that one of the counselors said was, brothers and sisters might make fun of you, they might embarrass you, they might tease you, they might all around annoy you, but all this they do through fun, games, and love. And then He goes on to say, but they do all this, fun, games, and love. If they didn't love you, do you really think they would give you a second thought to even try to have fun with you, to even try to be around you, to try to even just overall tease you? But he also mentioned something about them always being there to be a listening ear or a leaning shoulder whenever you have problems. They're never, at least through my experience, they're never one to say, oh, well, that's your problem, go deal with it. They'll listen to you, and they'll guide you through your problems. I also was talking to him about my parents, and he said, man, your parents must have really big problems. And I said, actually, no. They didn't have a, as far as I know, they didn't have a lot of problems raising us. And he was like, man, then I really give kudos to your mom and your dad. Your mom, because she had to go through all that, homeschooling all of you kids. And then your dad having to go out and work through all of that. And they got, and God has been very good to us, giving all that we've wanted, I mean needed, sorry. Granted, we haven't had all that we wanted, but we've gotten all that we needed, which was five things: food, home, godly parents, a house, again, and a God that loves us enough to send his son to die on the cross.
Thankful how God worked camp and the decisions that were made. So please keep these teens in your prayers. They would be grounded in God's word, and just encourage them and help them stay accountable in these decisions. Pastor Ken.
Well, the Apostle Paul told Timothy, continue in the things you've learned. And that's not just true for kids, what you picked up at camp, but it's true for all of us as we study God's word, that we will continue and to grow in our walk with God. Keith, is it possible, can we get all the decisions that kids made at camp, and if they are willing to share with us the decisions they made, we'd like to get those printed out on the information desk, and if you would commit to really praying for them, we encourage you to go by, and we'll try to have those out by next week so you can be praying for our teens. And I'm excited for those that are saying, hey, God's hands on my life to do full-time ministry. And Chris, I didn't want to be a pastor either. I didn't want to be a youth pastor, but I'll tell you what. When you say yes to God and you get doing what he wants you to do, you love what he's asked you to do. It's not hard when he's the one leading and giving you the strength to be able to do it. So we're so grateful for this evening and for the challenge that we've been able to hear from our kids and from the groups and the trips. And I'm just thankful for Brookside and what God's been doing in my life through many of you. And I trust that this week God will give us an opportunity to reach out to people. Remember, our theme for September is going to reach one. So begin praying. Who is that one that God would have you to reach out to and invite to our outreach with Tom Farrell coming up in September? Father, thank you for the great challenge tonight, for what you've been doing here and the body of believers. Help us to be compassionate to one another, mindful to uphold each other in prayer, and especially these that have said that they want God to take their life and use them. Father, we don't hear that very often today with teenagers. There's an enemy who wants to get teens and even their moms and dads to buy the lie that if you get serious with God, you'll get gypped in life. And yet, Father, you recorded through your Spirit working through King David a wonderful verse about how good you are. Taste and see the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that will trust in him. Father, may we not lean to our own understanding this week, but in all of our ways acknowledge you, and you promise you would direct our steps. Use us for your glory this week, we ask. In Jesus' name, amen.